Matthew chapter number 7, verse 12. We're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Lord God, we need you. Ask you to help us, God, as we come to your word. Please teach us, Lord, about these two different ways, these two paths that are laid before each and every one of us, and what we're to do about it. Please, God, we need you to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as you get towards the end of Matthew chapter 7, towards the end of this sermon that Jesus preached, you can see there in verse 12, the golden rule, what we call the golden rule. Most of us have probably heard it said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's a good rule. I mean, that's Jesus gave that to us right there. And then as you go through, you see just four sets of twos right here. You see in verses 13 and 14, there's two paths. Verses 15 to 20, there's two trees. And then verses 21 to 23, there's two professions. And verses 24 through the end of the chapter, there's two foundations. And it's contrasting these two different ways. What really the categories that we could say each person falls into? Which path are we on? And it starts off there in verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. So we look tonight at following the narrow way or marching down the highway to hell. Following the narrow way or marching down the highway to hell. God's plan of redemption for the human soul was never intended to start and end with merely salvation from the penalty of hell. That's never what God intended in His plan of redemption. And that's what salvation has been turned into for so many. But that's really just the byproduct, is that we don't have to go to hell. That's the byproduct of salvation. That's not the main point of salvation. But that's what it's turned into today, is that the main thing about salvation is that you don't have to go to hell. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, amen. I mean, praise God, we don't have to go to hell because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But that's not the main reason Christ died on the cross for us. The main reason He died on the cross for us was because it was an issue of sin. It was an issue of righteousness. The just demands of the law being met. That's why Christ died on the cross. And when we come to Him for salvation, that's really just the beginning. That's the start of it. You see, it says right there, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It's not just talking about just the gate. It's talking about the way a Christian is to live is narrow. The whole way, the whole manner of life of a Christian is to be narrow. So are we following the narrow way or marching down the highway to hell? God's always desired fellowship. He wants us to walk with Him and follow Him. That's what it's talking about, the way. That's part of the way. That's the blessings of the way, by the way. When you read throughout the book of Acts, it says, oh, they found them that were of the way. What way? They're of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They're of the way. Are you of the way? Are you in the way? In the way, the Lord led me. See, when we're in the way, the Lord will lead us. Are you in the way? That's where God wants us. You following the narrow way or marching down the highway to hell? Every one of us is a traveler in this life, and there's a way that God wants you as a child of God to live. Every one of us is traveling. It's just, which path are we on? Are we on the narrow way, or are we marching down the broad highway to hell? What so many people don't want to admit is that there are difficulties in the way to salvation and ease in the way to destruction. Let me say that again. There is difficulties in the way to salvation. Salvation is pretty simple. And we don't earn our salvation. I need to stop here and mention that this is not what I'm talking about. Is us trying to earn our salvation in some way, shape, or form? You can't. But there's difficulties on the way to salvation. Why do so many people not get saved after they hear a clear plan of salvation? Because there's things in the way. There's things stopping them. I don't want to. There's difficulties going into it. How come some say, I understand. If I were to die right now, I'd go to hell. I get it. Well, you want to receive the Lord as your Savior? They say, no, not yet. There's something in the way. They say, I'm not ready to go through that gate. I'm going to stay on the broad way, the highway to hell. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. See, salvation's a free gift. I think in here we know that. But I just want to reiterate that I'm not teaching a work salvation. But I'm saying when you get in the way, when you go through that gate, it says the way is narrow. God expects you to follow Him. God expects you to follow Him. We take the name Christian so lightly. So lightly. We blaspheme God's name because we take His name and say, I'm a Christian. That's blasphemy for many people to say. That's what it means. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When a man and a woman get married, the woman takes the man's name. She's owning that. She's saying, I am one with Him. She's taking His name. When we take Christ's name, we say, I am a Christian, but we don't live up to that profession. We are blaspheming God's name. That's what it means to take God's name in vain. It's blasphemy to say that you're a Christian, that I belong to Christ and we don't act like Him. And immediately the response can be, well, I'm not perfect. Why do we try and excuse our sin? None of us is perfect, but we shouldn't be trying to excuse our sin. That's the whole wrong attitude is in being a Christian, is trying to excuse your sin. We ought to say, God, I'm sorry I've broken your commandments. Help me. Show me how I can do it right. Not try and excuse it. Well, nobody's perfect. And quit calling yourself a Christian. Quit calling yourself a Christian. You know, to be a Christian, you got to be a disciple. Before you can ever be considered, even be considered a Christian, you have to be a disciple. Let's go, save your spot here. Go to Acts chapter, oh man, let me see if I can remember, 8. No, it's Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11:26. Is Barnabas going to seek the apostle, soon to be the apostle Paul, but Saul? And it says, and when he had found him, so Barnabas finds Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And get this, at the end of verse 26, it says, and the disciples, the who? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were called Christians. Not just the nominal professors, not just those that say, oh yeah, Jesus is my Savior. No, not them. It was the disciples. And I mean, I went through a whole series on what a disciple is, but really I think very quickly the Bible gives us a definition of a disciple over in John chapter 8, verse 31. But it says here, this is important, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So to be a Christian, you must be a disciple. Now let's go to John chapter 8. I want us to see it here. In a nutshell, this is a definition of a disciple. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. This is what Jesus said. If. That means it's a choice. It's a choice. If ye continue in my word, then. So God says you've got to do something. If you do this, then. If you do this, here's the result. Here's what it means. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So a disciple is somebody that's going to continue in God's Word. That's what a disciple is. And you cannot be a Christian until you're a disciple. Let me say, if you despise the Lord's New Testament church, you are not a Christian. If you won't be a part of a New Testament church, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. That's what the Word of God says. You're following Jesus. It's the institution. It's the only institution He established. And if you're not willing to be a part of that, you are not a Christian. You might be saved, but you're not a Christian. God wants those that are going to follow Him, that are going to be in the way. He says, narrow is the way. Are you in the way? There's a ease of life in the way to destruction. It said of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the opposite of what's taught today. I mean, real Christianity is not talked about today. It's a watered down version that everything's going to be good in life. Look, I'm telling you, if somebody gets saved, and maybe you're saved, and you say, you know, I'm going to get committed to following Jesus. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to commit myself to follow the Lord with all my heart. It might get worse. It might get worse because you're going to have to start taking a stand for some things. Whereas before you compromised, you're going to stop straddling the fence and you're going to decide either, hey, choose you this day whom you will serve, like Joshua told the children of Israel. Quit straddling the fence. Decide which side you want to be on. And it might get difficult for you when you start making those decisions. Some family might pull away from you when you start making those decisions. There have been many people in this church that have said, you know, I'm closer to people in this church than I am to my own family. Why is that? Because we hate our families? No. But because we're striving to follow the Lord and maybe our family's not. So we have to decide where we're going to be, which side we're going to be on. Am I going to pretend at this Christian thing and just do it sometimes? Or am I really going to commit myself to the Lord and follow the Lord all the time? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. You on the narrow way? Look, if you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. But if you're saved and you're not on the narrow way, why are you following the way of the lost? Why are you following the way of the heathen, the way of the world, the way of those that are on the road to destruction? Why are you following after that? Better ask yourself. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Moses made the choice to suffer affliction with the people of God. None of us in this life are really suffering here in this country. We're not suffering to stand for God. I've made this statement many times, and I believe it more and more. If you won't live for God in liberty, you will dead sure not live for Him in tyranny. If you won't live for God right now when it's legal, you will definitely not stand for Him when it's illegal. It's easy now. But if it's illegal, you really think you're going to stand up for Him? Well, when they tell me I can't, then I'm going to really stand for Jesus. But right now I'm just a little embarrassed of Him, or whatever the excuse is. How shameful of us. How shameful of us. Have you found the narrow way and are you walking in it? Ask yourself, be honest with yourself, am I walking in it? Maybe I went in at the gate, but I kind of just stood right there at the gate and I've not really wanted to walk in the way. Well, you need to decide if you're going to walk in it. This is what God has for you. This is what God wants for you. He wants you to come after Him, to follow Him. There are many that turn their back on the Lord. Go to John chapter 6, please. This thing of being a disciple is serious. God's looking for those that are serious about following Him. And what amazes me, and what I didn't understand for the longest time, But Jesus doesn't go chasing those that, he doesn't go run after them, chase them down, those that don't want to follow him. He lets them go. He says, go ahead, be on your own then. If that's what you want, you don't have to follow me. John chapter 6, verse 60. John 6:60 says, many therefore of his disciples, so these are the ones that are following him, continuing in his word, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Man, Jesus preached something. They said, this is hard. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He says, quit following your flesh. That's what you're doing. Quit following your flesh. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They stopped following him. Because what he was preaching was hard for them to understand. It was hard for them to accept. Are you walking in the narrow way? Are you living up to the Lord's expectations for you? Or would you have to hang your, or would he have to hang his head in shame and disappointment because of the way you're living? Because you as his child are living in disappointment to him. God's desire is for us to find the narrow way, to stay in the narrow way, and to help others follow us there. Because the broad way will end in disaster. The deceptive part is that on the way to destruction, on the broad way, all may seem well. But the end is destruction. See, everything can seem good. Look at so many people in this life that, man, they've got it good. They've got everything they need. And you go talk to them, they go, I don't need Jesus. I don't need that. That might not be what they say every time. Sometimes they do. But other times, that's the attitude they put off. I don't need that. I'm doing just fine by myself. That's because so much the gospel's been corrupted. That's a whole other issue we could deal with about the way the gospel's being presented to them. Instead of it being an issue of sin and righteousness, it's one, Jesus will make your life better. But even if it's still presented right, they're like, no, I'm doing good where I'm at. I'm okay. God's happy with me. Look at everything that I've got. So everything on the way to destruction may seem well, because that's where most people are at. That's where they're living. That's where their life is taking place, is on the path to destruction, the highway to hell. And it's broad. And they look, how many people are here with me? Are you saying we're all wrong and you're the only few that are right? Man, you narrow-minded Christians. How can you be so narrow-minded? You're so unloving. You're so unkind. What's told about us. But God can't love gay people? God can't love drunkards? God can't love liars? So what do we say to that? Straight is the gate. But that word straight means narrow. That's what it's talking about. It's a hard way to pass through, is what it's saying. It's a tight fit to get through it. You see, the thing nobody wants to talk about, Jesus loves everybody, they say, and it's a corruption of his love, because above every attribute of God stands God's holiness. His holiness is supreme. His love is a holy love. Because his love is holy, he will let no sin in heaven. People don't want to come to God on his terms. They want to come to him on their terms. They want to say, Lord, I don't like that narrow gate. I'm going to go through this broad gate and you're going to have to accept me. Because this is just how I am. I was born this way. How does that work? I was born an adulterer. How dare you judge me? Who do you think you are? You're so narrow-minded. I can't help myself but to commit adultery. I'm coming out of the closet. We think, what are you talking about? That's sin. That's wicked. That's wrong. How could you do that? Well, if it's wrong there, saying I'm a serial murderer, I'm just I was born a murderer, I have to kill people. It's just one person a month. I mean, come on. I was born this way. I've got to do it. Well, we'd say that's ridiculous. That's sin. That's wrong. But in our society today, there's just this one sin that's allowed. Christians are accepting it. Christians are accepting it. Pastor, we're a gay-friendly church. Shouldn't we be? See, because we don't understand doctrine, because so many preachers don't understand doctrine. They don't teach true doctrine. Nobody even knows what the church is for. Come as you are. Sorry. It's not in there. Come to Jesus as you are. Amen. Willing to turn from your sin. Repentance. You come to Jesus as you are. He'll cleanse you. He'll save you. He'll straighten you out. He'll help you. You come to Jesus as you are, but church? Because we don't understand what it is. Because we don't get Bible doctrine. It's not being taught. It's been all corrupted and polluted. Who would want to mess up the bride of Christ? Who would want to destroy that and ruin what it is? Can we think of anybody that might want to do that? The devil, right? The devil would want to destroy the Lord's church. And we're told that he's going to present it to himself as a chaste bride. So who's going to want to corrupt and pollute it and pervert it other than the devil? See, so he's going to start by corrupting the doctrine of what the church is. So we don't understand what it is. Church is for saved people. Only. Now, if a lost person comes in here, that's fine. It's okay. But the intention is not to bring in lost people to church. Because church, the definition of it, is an assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. That we can get that from the Bible. I've taught on that. That's the purpose of a church. Jesus said, my church, my ecclesia, my assembly is the, you could, I'm not saying we need to do this, but anywhere in the Bible you see the word church, you can replace it with the word assembly. And it'll fit because that's what it means. That's all it's ever meant. But again, what if I said is the most corrupt doctrine in all the world today that I believe is corrupted everything more than anything? What is it? Who knows? The universal church. The teaching of the universal church that once you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. That we're all just the church. I hope us in here, we know that is completely false. You will find that nowhere in the Word of God. Nowhere. That we are all part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is only a local assembly with Jesus Christ as the head. That's all it's ever been. That's all it's ever meant. That's all the apostles would have understood it to mean in the time when Jesus said what it was. He used the word ecclesia. That word was common to them at that time, and it always meant an assembly, a called out assembly. It was never a universal thing that just everyone's just a part of. When they used the word ecclesia, it was like a town hall meeting. The people of the town would come together for this meeting. They'd be called out to assemble. That's all it's ever meant. That's the only way they ever would have understood it to mean. Salvation brings you into the family of God. Baptism brings you into the church of God. And it has to be baptism under the right authority by a true New Testament church, by a man having hands laid on him by a proper authority. That has to happen. Again, going back to those six primary principles. But because we don't understand doctrine and it's been so corrupted and so polluted that we think the assembly should just welcome anybody and everybody. So this is a private assembly. If someone comes in here causing problems, you leave. Leave. If you come in with false doctrine, leave. Leave. Why? Because this is not my church. It's the Lord's church. I have to follow what He says. I have to protect this. My duty is to keep the wolves out. My duty is to feed the sheep the word of God. And we can't allow false doctrine in here. Amen. So it's not just an open assembly for anybody and everybody. If a lost person comes in, praise the Lord, I'll preach the gospel to them. But I'm not going to tailor my message to suit the needs of the lost, because it's not for them, it's for the saved. It's for saved people. It's not going to be salvation messages all the time. We're going to preach the word of God to help God's people grow. That's what it's for. People are on their way down this broad way, this highway to hell. And while they're on that way, everything seems good to them. But the end's destruction. And if we're not going to tell them the truth, how does that help them? How is that love? How is that love if we won't tell them the truth? Warn them that what you're doing is dangerous. That's sin against God. God's going to judge you. Well, judge not, right? Judge not. See, we talked about that one. What does it mean? What does it mean to actually judge righteous judgment? Because it's in there. When Jesus said in this same chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, judge not that ye be not judged, what was he talking about? He's talking about being a hypocrite. Fix yourself first. Even in the same passage, he says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He says, don't judge hypocritical judgment. Fix yourself first so you can see clearly to help the other person, so you can see clearly to still judge what they're doing. That's what he's saying. The context of the same passage tells you that. Jesus was speaking of that. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right to somebody, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. But I just feel that this is right. It doesn't matter. What does God say? Some of what I may have said even about the church, some of you might be like, what? I don't agree with that. That's not what my preacher said. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It doesn't matter what some preacher said. What does God's word say? Well, I don't like that. There's a lot of stuff in here I don't like. Man, I'm like, come on. But it's right. And I got to get myself in line with it. That's the only answer we can come to is God's right, I'm wrong. God's right and I'm wrong. Amen. We want to get on the narrow way. There's going to be a lot of that. We're going to walk in the narrow way. There's going to be a lot of that. God's going to say, hey, buddy, work on this right here. Right here. You got to fix this problem in your life right here. And he's telling somebody else, yeah, you got to work on this problem right here. That's the narrow way. That's called sanctification. It's us growing to be more like Christ. And that shouldn't stop till the day we die. We should continually be striving to be like Christ. But there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And people will, I mean, Christians will scream and yell at you over this stuff when you stand there and say, show them something from the Bible. And I've done it with them. I've had these discussions with them. And they're yelling at me and mad at me. Well, I just feel this and I think that. And I'm like, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. And I don't feel that way. I'm like, well, okay, you're entitled to that, but you're in disagreement with God. But you're in disagreement with God. See, we got to be willing to humble ourselves. We're going to walk in the narrow way. We got to humble ourselves and follow what the way says, what Jesus says, what his word says. Are you willing to follow God in the way he has for you? Ask yourself that. That's a serious question. Hey, if you're not willing to be a disciple, don't ask it. Don't ask it if you're not willing to be a disciple. Are you willing to follow God in the way he has for you? If you're not willing to be a disciple, don't do it. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you're not willing to do that, then don't ask him. Don't ask. God, I'm going to follow what you have for me. Will you help me do it? Don't ask. Because he'll show you. And it may mean you have to change some things. I've had to change a lot of things in my life, more than I can count. Still am. But I'm striving to be a disciple. I'm striving to follow him in the narrow way. See, it's not just it's narrow to get there. And that's kind of what I was taught, is that, oh, this is just speaking about just coming to salvation because Jesus is the only way. Amen, he is. But that's why I said that redemption, the end of redemption, isn't just salvation from sin. Salvation from hell, rather. It is salvation from sin. From living a life of sin, even. From growing in sanctification, sinning less. Look, when you become a saved person, a child of God, you will not be sinless, but you will sin less. That's sanctification. That's what God's talking about. That's what God wants. Lose the idea that salvation's, oh, it's just this narrow passage I have to go step through, and then I'm saved and it opens up to the broad way and I can do whatever I want. That's what a lot of Christians think that salvation means, that it entails for them, because a lot of preachers have given them that impression that that's what it is, when that's not what it is. Jesus said, hey, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. The way, that implies a journey. Again, in Acts, it says they were in the way. Being in the way, the Lord led me. What does that mean? Being at the entrance of the gate, the Lord led me? No, it means being on the path that God had for me, being in the way. See, narrow is the way. But man, it opens up to a broad spectrum of blessings. I have more liberty now than I've ever had. I'm not in bondage to my sin. Amen. What people think it means to be in liberty is actually the exact opposite. I'm going to get to that next week. When we look at, we could say a false liberty versus true liberty. Being in the way versus going on the broad way. Broad means it's wide. It's big and open. I can do whatever I want, but what did Jesus say about it? And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So many people think everything's going great for me on this broad way, but then they get to the end and they fall off a cliff into hell. So many people think that they're going to end up in, you know, I'm going to be partying in hell with my friends. No, you're going to be weeping, and they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth when you're in hell. That's what it's going to be. You're going to wake up to a harsh reality. And it says most people are on that. How many of you like rush hour? Anybody? It's not even that bad here compared to some places. Anybody driven through LA? I don't care what time of day, what time of night you drive through there. It's a nightmare. I don't care. 2 a.m. I mean, when I've driven through there before, I'm like, what in the world? Why are we going like 20 miles an hour? And it's for like 2 hours. It's forever. Okay, but it's a nightmare. Who would want to live there? Man, I would never want to live there. Never. I pray the Lord doesn't move me there. If he did, I'd go. I prayed about going and starting a church there. Anyway, moving on. All right, nobody likes rush hour, right? You ever been to a bottleneck on the freeway? They shut everything down to one lane? Man, that's the worst. When you're on the freeway and they shut everything down to one lane, you can seriously be on the freeway for like 2 hours waiting to get through. Because nobody wants to let anybody in, right? And then there's always that jerk that everyone knows the lane is ending, right? We all know the lane's ending. I mean, everybody knows it. And there's that guy that shoots up to the front, and then everyone's like, he's not getting in front of me. You know, I mean, just boom, 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 boom. Nobody wants to let him in, right? I always like when there's the diesel, and he just scoots on over and blocks all those people. I'm like, yeah. Especially when they're behind me. I'm like, yes. All right. Okay, but that bottleneck, what happens is very few people get through. I mean, just one at a time. Boom, 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 boom. It's slow. And then you got the rubberneckers. I mean, for whatever reason, it's shut down. Everyone's like, You know, they're just, I mean, everyone's got to see what it is. I mean, so it just slows it all down. Nobody gets through. But man, when the freeway's not like that and all the lanes are open, just people are just, everyone's going, just moving, boom, boom, fast, fast. Well, this is what God's describing. Straight is the gate. See, that's that bottleneck. And narrow is the way. It's like that the whole way. Now, normally you get into an accident like that or something, and it's just real quick. You just, once you get through it, you're boom. It opens up, and like everyone pedal to the metal, and it's like, whoom, you know, I got to make up time here. And everyone's flying. But the whole way, it's going to be narrow. It's just going to be just one behind the other, not moving fast. Just right behind each other, but not moving fast. Okay, but the Broadway, everyone's just flying down it. That's how God described it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's where most people are. Most people. I've heard many pastors, I mean, some of them pastor churches of tens of thousands. And as far as I knew, these men, they didn't water the gospel down. They preached repentance. I don't know what happened, though, but these men said that 80 to 90% of our members are lost. Well, that's maybe you ought to change something, you know? I mean, I don't know what the issue was, but that's what these men said. Many of them. 80 to 90% of our church members are lost. Hey, you know, before the Great Awakening took place in the separate Baptist revival that took place, gave us the Bible Belt. That's how it was in many of the so-called churches, the congregational churches, the state churches. That's how it was. They were just lost members, weren't saved. Broad is the way. That's where most people are at. That's where most people are at. They're lost. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, it's close. I've got a sense of religion about me, so I feel okay. But God says the end thereof are the ways of death. This way, following the way that God has for us, starts with salvation, or it starts at the gate. That's the start of it. You got to go into the gate. Each of us has to have a time in our life when we entered that gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And then we're on that journey. Ask ourselves, are you willing to walk in the way? Let's pray.